Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
305 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Tuesday afternoon. It's a gorgeous day. And it's a week. 1 week. Until the election. Oh, the election of all time. You know, this election goes the wrong way. We have Hitler in the White House and Nazis marching through the streets. And internment camps. And forced eyebrow removal. And torture. And dogs and cats living together. And it's like, oh, just shut up already. We got it. You're desperate. Believe me, there's not a single solitary person who missed that part of your plea. You're desperate. I forget what the name of the policy is. Jerem, you probably know it. You're a brilliant young man. And Jeremy actually produces not one but two award-winning shows. That's true. I mean, during the week, he's stuck with me. And then on Saturdays, he produces for Sam Newsman, the most reliable puppet in media. The guy's been reporting since Roswell. But anyway, Jerem, what is the name of that thing? There is some professor, I think, somewhere. No, not Larry Sabato. Larry Sabato, of course, simply heads up the Larry Sabato Center for the shameless promotion of Larry Sabato and should be immediately dismissed from the University of Virginia. $500,000 for him to stand around and tell me that I'm a Nazi because I support Donald Trump. Tell that to my family members who died at the hands of the actual Nazis, you absolute clown, you. What a vile person that Sabato is. Anyway, I'm sorry, I digressed. I went off, I saw a squirrel, something shiny, and we're off to the races. Now, Jerem, what is that thing? There's somebody, I think it's a professor, who came up with this rule that says if you invoke Adolf Hitler or you mention the Nazis in an argument, in a debate, you've lost. And it's the something rule, and I don't remember what it is, but it's a thing. I didn't make it up. It's not the Katz rule. It's not the Jeff rule. I don't know what it is, but, we'll find out. But you know what I'm saying, right? There is somebody who came up with this thing that says if you invoke Adolf Hitler, you're not actually talking about Adolf Hitler, you've lost. If you invoke the Nazis and you're not actually discussing Nazis, and I don't mean those Illinois Nazis that come out for the Blue Brothers, I mean actual Nazis, then you have lost that discussion. The Democrats have lost this debate. They lost complete and total control of it a long time ago. They are now at the point of fear-mongering and absolutely outrageous fear-mongering. They have folks like the Sabato character, who, by the way, is busy blocking people. Is he allowed to block people? Like, I can block people. If you annoy me on X, I can block you. I know that. Why? It's because she's absolutely abysmal, and she is afraid, perhaps, that she's going to say something that, accidentally, inadvertently reveals who she really is. She's a Marxist. I mean, she's a hardcore Marxist, and she's a revolutionary. And you've got people who are pointing out that with all of that, she's absolutely not ready for primetime. Now, I've joked about that she's been our not ready for primetime vice president ever since she somehow, some way fell into the role of vice president. But I got news for you. All of that being said, if she wasn't ready for primetime as vice president, she sure as heck is not ready for primetime here. But they stage this coup, they push poor old Uncle Joe right off the cliff, and we've got her, or you've got her, or, well, they chose her. It's not like I'm voting for her. There's no danger of that. And the more that I am told by folks like Sabato that I am somehow a Nazi because I support President Trump, the more offended and disgusted I absolutely am. And I want to know how Larry Sabato is allowed to block people. Once again, there's a distinction. If you are over on X and you don't like something somebody's saying to you, you can block them, right? You're just a regular person. Good place to be, just a regular person. You're not a government employee. And if you are a government employee like Larry Sabato, I do believe that there's some sort of legal requirements about having social media channels available. Wasn't there something, I want to say that it was former President Trump, because everything seems to be directed at him in a negative way, but I don't think it was. I do think it was somebody else, and somebody in some position of power, some public figure like that, a government employee, blocked someone, and then they were held to account. They couldn't do it. I don't know. I know I've raised the issue, and I probably should know the answer, but I don't know the answer. Yeah. I don't. Oh, Godwin's Law. Yes, yes, yes. Godwin's Law. Thank you. I'm looking at... I am looking at the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Godwin's Law. Yes, that is exactly correct. 804 says, Jeff, it sounds like Sabato has just silenced you. Well, I don't think so. I'm here. Make no mistake about it. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 804, Jeff, SCOTUS demanded that the prosecution provide his evidence in this ridiculous illegal alien voting lawsuit by 3 p.m. today. Any word? No. We're waiting to hear what's happened. Governor Youngkin and Attorney General Meares have asked for Supreme Court to step in and say, you can't force us to keep non-citizens on the voting rolls. And remember something about this. The reality is that these people who were taken off the voting rolls themselves said they were not citizens. This is not somebody from the Commonwealth going out and saying, well, I want to see you this, I want to see this, I want to see... These are people themselves. They went in, they got their driver's license. Somehow, some way, they get registered to vote, and at the same time they're getting registered to vote, they're saying, no, I'm not a citizen. So they shouldn't have been registered to vote in the first place. They haven't lost anything. We haven't lost anything. The only people who are in fear that something is being lost are those who are trying everything to cook the books on the election. That's the problem. That is the problem. Now we'll see what happens. So Michael Harrison is going to be here. He's going to be here at 3:35. We're going to be talking about the Joe Rogan experience. Joe Rogan has now said, amongst other things, he is not traveling to interview Kamala Harris. Unlike Donald Trump, who was able to find Joe Rogan's studio, sit down, have a conversation, do whatever was required, Kamala Harris says, no, you must come to me, and you can't. We are not going to do any more than an hour. And Joe Rogan said, it's not worth my trouble. Not worth my trouble. I don't want to travel to wherever you are. I don't want to go through the hassle of getting equipment to be where you are. And my show runs a couple of hours, so if you're going to do it, you got to do it. Now, the last part is the one that I side with her. I really do. It's very rare that you say to someone, you have to spend hours and hours and hours on this program, right? I don't know that anybody's ever been able to do that effectively in the past. But then I don't know that anybody's wanted to do it. I don't know that Joe Rogan really wants to spend 2 or 3 hours with Kamala Harris, but it's a great point of delineation between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump, isn't it? Donald Trump's like, yeah, I got the morning cleared, whatever you want to do. I'm here. I'm yours. Let's hang. Kamala Harris says, I got other stuff to do. Now, I don't believe her when she says she has other stuff to do, but I know her staff is in fear. Oh, they're terrified that she might accidentally, inadvertently say something that, you know, she hadn't rehearsed and sort of shaped in front of a group, a focus group situation. So Michael Harrison will be here at 3:35. Our buddy Craig Peterson is going to be here. I got some terrible news for him. I really do. He's going to be shocked. I had this big event in Chicago last week, as you know. I was a guest speaker, featured speaker, which was wonderful, but it was also in addition to the speaking. there was a workshopping component that was really valuable to me. And, well, I'm told I have to go to the dark side, but I got to get some Apple stuff. And we'll also talk about, are you ready for this? The Christian Chamber of Commerce. I ran into a wonderful couple out at Liberty University. I was there for Dave Bratt's event, the CEO Summit, a couple of weeks back, and they head up the Christian Chamber of Commerce out in Virginia Beach. They're going to talk to us about it, and who knows? We'll get one here in Central Virginia. I think it sounds like a marvelous organization. I really do. It is 316, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 321, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Michael Harrison is going to be along at 335. Michael is the publisher of Talkers Magazine, and an incredible publication, truly the Bible of talk radio. And he's going to be with us at 3:35 because I want to talk about the Joe Rogan experience. I want to talk about what Rogan is bringing to this and what it says when Joe Rogan can say to Kamala Harris, the sitting vice president, hey, you know what? I'm not interested in traveling to meet with you. I'm not going to reconfigure my life so that I can get you on my show. I think it's incredible. I really do. I think it's wonderful. But it's something that is a little bit new. You know, you can see it. Let me explain this to you. I see it sometimes inside of the smaller market talk radio stations. And that's what we are. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. It's not a major market. And so what happens, people get all worked up into a lather and they say, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. I'm going to get, I'm going to have the governor, lieutenant governor, this, you know, the guy who's from on Fox News going to be on the show. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And you go like, hey, relax, chill out. Every one of those people that you've just mentioned needs you more than you need them. That's a terrible thing to say, I suppose, but it's completely and totally honest. Completely and totally honest. So there are some people get all excited. Oh, my God, I got this politician or that politician. It's like, hey. They're looking for votes. They need you more than you need them. The folks who get all excited, oh, my God, I got this guy. This is the national guy from Fox. It's like, well, believe me when I tell you, he needs you. He absolutely needs you. Now, having said that, let me remind you that Bill O'Reilly and Dinesh D'Souza will be joining us on Monday. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. No, but they will, I mean, which I love. I love O'Reilly, as you know. I used to be a regular on the Factor on Fox when I was in San Francisco. So, I mean, that's always cool. I love O'Reilly. I think O'Reilly is just one of those sorts of guys. You love talking to him. You love hearing what he has to say. And he doesn't do very many local radio shows. He does this one, as you know. Why? It doesn't have anything to do with what I just said. It's because we actually known each other for 30-some-odd years. Dinesh D'Souza is going to be with us on Monday as well. I actually am very excited about that because I think D'Souza has got some insight that the vast majority of people do not. So I think that is good stuff. Michael Harrison will offer his insight on the Joe Rogan situation, and I'd love to hear what you're thinking about it as well. Let me remind you real fast about the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. You send it. I may or may not read it. I'm not reading everything. Some of the stuff is just downright silly, and some of it is brilliant. I'm hoping yours is more the latter than the former. 833-804-1140, the Chronic Care of Richmond text line. 326, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. I am always nice to the robots. Our future robot overlords are going to be just fine. They are. Just ask them. It's 3:36, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Now, I want to remind you about some of the great folks who are going to be dropping by over the next couple of days, calling in some chits on some old friends. We got Chris Ruddy, who has built Newsmax to just epic proportions, but he's had a longstanding personal relationship with President Trump, so Chris Ruddy is going to be with us tomorrow, the next day. We've got Bill O'Reilly, who's dropping by, Dinesh D'Souza. We got one or two good folks. None of them compare to Michael Harrison, but they're not bad folks. Michael Harrison, I've shared this with you before. Michael and I have been friends. We did the math. It's three decades plus. It's like 33 years. Michael is truly one of the best broadcasters I've ever known. One of the most talented guys. Could have been the king in the talk radio realm, and instead said, you know what? I'm going to be the guy who legitimizes talk radio in the right way. I'm going to be the guy who creates the trade publication, the Bible of talk radio, Talkers Magazine, which is what he's done. And I wanted to bring him on to not blow smoke and tell him how great he is. I could do that off the air. I wanted to talk to him about Joe Rogan and what's going on there. Michael, thank you for being here, man.
It's great to be with you, Jeff, and always thank you for the kind introductions. You're very, very generous.
I think the world of you, but you knew that. I want to know what you're thinking about the Joe Rogan experience and what's happened here with President Trump spending 3 hours and Joe Rogan saying, you know what, I don't really want to be bothered traveling to meet with the vice president. This is a very new world we're in, man.
It's a very new world. It's been building for a very long time. As a matter of fact, you know, I've been talking about this new world for decades, mm-hmm. As if it were right around the corner. So it isn't that this snuck up on me or you or people in the know about media and how it's evolving overnight. Yeah. But it occurred to me, and I wrote about it in Talkers the other day and got a lot of response to it. It occurred to me that this Joe Rogan Experience podcast that former President Trump went on for 3 hours, to the detriment of a crowd of thousands of people at a rally waiting several hours through the air away from him. You know, he made them wait for 3 hours because this podcast was so important to him. Yeah. And the amount of coverage that it got in the news and the level of irreverence that yes. Joe Rogan showed him in terms of the language he used, in terms of the direct questions that he asked and his subtle passive-aggressive commentary that Trump didn't even know that in some cases Rogan was toying with him, indicated to me that we have arrived at the tipping point when we can no longer think of podcasts and we can no longer think of online or alternative media or underground media or grassroots media as being that at all. Collectively, there's a new mainstream. The networks, the big newspapers, the big television companies, they do not have a monopoly on the big time anymore. There are individual pockets of big time, such as Joe Rogan, right, and many others like that. And collectively, the alternative is bigger in many ways from a standpoint of credibility, influencers, and impact than a lot of the kind of plastic, phony, mainstream, legacy, I'm using these terms with imaginary quotes around them, media. Would you agree that we're in a new territory right now when it comes to the categorization of media venues?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, totally. Totally. We're seeing not just the emergence of those on this side of the camera, this side of the microphone. We're seeing an entire collection of public figures who grew up with what you and I talk of as talk radio. Look, every time I see J.D. Vance sparring with one of those plastic caricatures on the CNN or the MSNBCs or wherever it is, ABC, I think you grew up listening to Rush Limbaugh. You honed your craft as a talker, as a presenter, by listening to the greats of talk radio. And I think we've just seen this total blossoming on both sides.
No doubt about it. As a matter of fact, I think that Donald Trump was influenced by radio personalities to the point that he's the first shock president.
Yes.
That a case could be made that Trump is the media result of an evolution that included people like Don Imus, Howard Stern, Rush Limbaugh, Joe Pine. Yes. You want to go all the way back?
Yeah.
Froggy the Gremlin on Andy's Gang. I mean, Seriously. I don't know if that reference resonated with you. You may not have grown up where I did, but there was a kiddie show where there was this impish frog that used to make fun of serious adults when they were talking to the kids and put words in their mouth and go, ha, ha, ha. There's a stick it in your eye kind of attitude.
Yep.
And I think that Trump, part of his success as a politician in terms of his election to the highest office and his pertinence in our society for a decade now, beyond his media dabblings before, I think a lot of it comes from what you're talking about, growing up with this emerging new media that now has changed the norms in America on every level, including the language that we use in public discourse.
Yeah, you know, and let me remind everybody, Michael Harrison is joining me. Michael is the publisher of Talkers, which is the Bible of talk radio and every sort of spoken word, whether it's behind a microphone or in a camera, is it a podcast, is the rest of it. You're right. Look, there would not be a Donald Trump were there not a Bob Grant. There would not be Donald Trump in this way were it not for the fact that he used to be a regular with Howard Stern, the same Howard Stern who now thinks he's, like, I don't know, the Antichrist or something, won't even utter his name, you know, like he's Voldemort. It is bizarre. But like you, I am a little concerned about the language, right? Those of us who are on the traditional radio outlets, we have these words we don't say and blah, 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 blah. There's no filter on some of the other stuff. And I don't know. I'm going to ask you, is that good, bad, or indifferent?
It's natural. Language is organic and language changes all the way back to ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics. They read about people bemoaning the fact that young people don't speak politely. And you and I, you know, both have been in radio long enough to know that certain words, certain song titles over the years were considered to be iffy, like, can I get away with playing the B word by the Stones, or the B is back by Elton John?
That's
or,
right.
You know, or if you remember a long time ago when you were a kid, if the word hell came up or damn, they would have another word that rhymed with it and
that's
play
right.
out. And so I'm not that concerned from a standpoint of being a moralist about words. I find it to be natural, and I'm always interested in which words replace other words. We need dirty words. If we don't have taboo words, then we lose one of the colors on the palette of our communication. But I don't think that any word is inherently evil. It's the intent behind it. But just the fact that it's happening so quickly and so dramatically, you take a pop cultural chronicler like me. I'm a you know, compulsive chronicler. I'm constantly commenting on categories and changes and these things, and I'm finding it to be just overwhelmingly an abundance of riches in terms of things to talk about and comment on. Things are changing that drastically.
Yeah, you are, as per usual, spot on. You know, you mentioned about the Joe Rogan Donald Trump interaction, where there were some parts that it didn't seem like President Trump knew or appreciated that Rogan was kind of ribbing him a little bit.
Yes, he didn't know. Trump's ego is so big that it's hard for him, and he's so used to people yesing him, and his you know, when you're president or a past president or a big shot like Trump, you surround yourself with yes men, and they tell you what you want to hear, and you get used to that.
Yeah.
And you can't always tell when you venture away from that safety zone that people might be making fun of you. I've seen a few podcasts that Trump has been on where the podcasters were laughing in his face, and he did not realize that they were laughing at him, not with him.
Yeah.
So you know, when you have a gigantic ego, and this is not a political statement about Trump, it's just an observation about his nature.
Right.
When you have a gigantic ego, you can be fooled very easily by people who play you. And I
don't
see that.
Don't let all the secrets out of the bag, Michael.
Well, not you. You're one of the most humble people I know. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, you tend to think that everybody just loves you. Rogan is a very talented guy. Now, you know, he's into that current thing, you know, where he looks like a slob and he's got a couple of doofuses on the I shouldn't say that, but I don't even know who they are. But he has his guys, you know, and they sit around, and they're cronies, you know, what's it like, bro talk, yep. and all that stuff. It's a genre. Exactly. It's funny. You see a former president of the United States in his suit and his tie sitting there talking to them, and you don't know who's doing whom. It's, you know, maybe Trump thinks he's patronizing Rogan. The dynamic, Jeff, is fascinating. Uh-huh. Everybody is BSing everybody else.
Yeah.
I hope I can say that on your show.
You can. You just did. Now I had this little frog pop up, and I'm very, very upset about what you just said. Now, think for a second, Michael. You've got Donald Trump who ventures in there. Donald Trump, if he wanted to, I think, could have probably pulled off the baseball cap backwards if he wanted to give that a shot. He probably could have done the whole shtick. But What about the comparison with the vice president? Now, she, whether you like her politics, dislike her politics, I'm not talking politics here. I think she is one of the least capable communicators I have ever seen on a national stage. I mean, I cringe every time she opens her mouth. I think she's appalling, and I can't even begin to imagine that she could spend 3 minutes, let alone 3 hours, with Joe Rogan.
Well, she might pull a surprise out of her hat, you know, or something, and so sometimes she surprises me. I've gone through many different reactions to her over the years,
right,
in terms of her public speaking ability. I mean, there are a lot of people who just don't think she's a very good presenter.
Yeah.
And then there are a lot of people who think that both Joe Biden and Donald Trump are in cognitive decline. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, so I can take this conversation in many directions, play devil's advocate with you, mm-hmm, or just simply say, should there be a separate standard for Kamala Harris than there is for Donald Trump? Does she have to be perfect and he gets away with being imperfect because that's what he does? And how dare her try to take away his birthright to be president again? I mean, there's so many angles on this.
And let's not kid ourselves. He is, in many ways, at different times, and certainly throughout his, I don't know, 40, 50 years in public life, there have been moments where you're thinking, oh, he's the poster child for imperfect. I mean, he's not even just, you know, imperfect. He is the poster child for imperfection. But he somehow, Michael, he's made it work. He's embraced so many areas that ordinarily you have been told throughout the years, this particular segment of America doesn't play nicely with this particular segment of America. I think he's done very well at that. I'm curious, when you look into the future, right? We're going to get through this election in the next week. It's going to be done and we can move on with life, which means we start the next election cycle. Do you see Rogan once again playing a major role? Are people going to get his importance long before these guys did?
I think that Joe Rogan, if he stays on the trajectory that he's on, he is the next Rush Limbaugh. Mm. I think he already is. I think that he is the biggest star in talk media. And I have difficulty on a certain level. I'll be very candid. Yeah. I have problems dealing with that because I'm radio-centric. Yeah. As a trade magazine publisher and a spokesperson for parts of the industry, and we do talk media, it's all under our umbrella, but I have a very soft spot in my heart for the institution of radio and radio stations, licensed stations, on air, AM, yeah, FM. I like that as the center of my wheel.
Right.
And you get a guy like Rogan, you get these guys with these podcasts that have 20, 30, 40 million people listening to them, numbers that used to be for, you know, I Love Lucy,
right,
and the networks can't get those numbers. I find that to be, a little bit, it's alarming from a standpoint of my own cultural traditions. But objectively speaking, no, this is the new world. This is the new way. In terms of Trump, I don't think the book of Trump has been written yet. I think that he faces a lot of perils going forward, whether he gets elected or doesn't.
Oh.
Either. way. I think that he is a historic lightning rod, and he is the most famous person in the world at a time when it's dangerous to be famous, and I don't mean physically. I'm just talking about on so many levels. Yeah. And as far as Kamala Harris is concerned, you know, she's in the crossfire right now, a very polarized world, and people are attacking her. But I sometimes like to step back objectively and say, well, she may not be that good a communicator, and you may think she's a low IQ person, and you may think that she has an empty head, but she has been a district attorney, she has been an attorney general, she has been a senator, she has been vice president, and damn, I've never done anything quite like that. So who the hell am I to judge her?
Wait a minute, Harris. I'm going to say exactly who you are. You have spent decades making sure the talk radio was regarded with some degree of respect and decency and honor. You have been the keeper of the trade publication for our industry. So, no, you haven't been vice president of the United States. You've been busy doing important stuff, for God's sake.
Yeah, well, I appreciate your bolstering my sagging confidence. But one other thing, let me squeeze this in, because I know the clock is ticking and you're running a show. One of the problems radio faces today is that the smallest little AM radio station with a small signal and a small audience still is regulated by the Federal Communications Commission, and it's harder for somebody to buy a station like that than it was for Elon Musk to write a check and take control of one of the most powerful communications platforms in the history of the world. And there is such an imbalance in terms of, you know, like Limbaugh used to say, you know, with half of my brain tied behind my back, the radio broadcasting community has its hands tied behind its back because it's still regulated by the government, whereas somebody like Joe Rogan is completely unregulated. Not that I'm saying he should be regulated, but I'm pointing out to you the imbalance of power between this new media and the old media that, as much as we may love it and still doing it, and it's still vital and it's still important, is part of the receding 20th century.
It is. Michael, I always appreciate you making time for us, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I love what you've done for this business. I love the fact that you can squeeze us in every once in a while to talk about some stuff. And
anytime.
As always, you're spot on. And be nice to the robots. I know the AI's not taking our place, but you still got to be nice to the robots, all right?
Definitely. Thank you so much, Jeff. Be well and best to all of your listeners. Thank you all.
My friend. That is Michael Harrison. Nobody better. He is he's one of the biggest names that you may not have heard of in talk radio. And talk radio has only been successful as a result of what Michael Harrison and Talkers has been able to do through the years. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 405, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Tuesday. We got our buddy Craig Peterson, who's coming up in about a half an hour. Love chatting with Craig about tech and staying safe online. And now that I've gotten this, I don't want to say it was a lecture, because it wasn't a lecture. I mean, it was some great interaction that I had out in Chicago. As I look at, future thing.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm thinking this guy Jacob really gave me some insight on a lot of stuff. And it was really great. I mean, it was very appreciative. You ever have one of those moments you go, wow, thank you. Thank you so much. But he was talking a little bit about tech, and I may actually have to go to the dark web, Apple. We'll see how that goes. Not for every. I can't see that I would do it with everything. I don't think, honestly, I don't think Heidi's cell phone would even communicate with an Apple. I don't. I think she's got a program that could blow up or something. But he'll be with us in just about a half an hour. We got some folks from a little something called the Christian Chamber of Commerce. That sounds interesting, doesn't it? They're going to be with us at 5:35. I ran into them at Liberty University. You know, I was out there for the CEO Summit as a result of being invited by Dr. Dave Brat. And I had such an incredible conversation with them and such an interesting interaction. I said, boy, I got to get you on just to talk about some stuff. So they're going to be with us at 5:35. Coming up over the next couple of days, Chris Ruddy, who is the man behind Newsmax. He put it together. Another one. I'm thinking, you know, me and Michael Harrison and Bill O'Reilly, we're all like in that 30-year club, right? So about 30 years ago, Chris Ruddy put together Newsmax. And first it was a newsletter, and then it was a magazine. Now it's not only a television network, but it's also an incredible floor wax and dessert topping. And Chris Ruddy will be with us because he's been friends with Donald Trump for 30-plus years. And I just want him to offer some perspective. Bill O'Reilly is going to be with us on Monday. Dinesh D'Souza is going to be with us on Monday as well. Oh, I've got some good news. Andrea Mitchell is apparently she is ending her run on MSNBC. Now, well, MSNBC is this thing. How would we describe it? Is it technically a network? Maybe. But Andrea Mitchell said she's giving up her show to... Is she pursuing other interests or is she spending more time with her family? Those are the normal statements that are utilized when somebody says, yeah, I'm done, or somebody says to somebody, yeah, you're done. Now, she's moving on, it says, from Andrea Mitchell Reports to take on, quote, a wider reporting-focused role at NBC News. I think that means we may never see her again. Wow. All right. Well, that'll be interesting. I go back again. It's one of those age things. I remember when Andrea Mitchell was a local radio reporter in Philadelphia. Now, she's always been a left-wing wackadoodle. That has not changed. She's always been like that. But she was a local radio reporter in Philadelphia for WIP Radio, and she kind of made her bones by harassing, as best she could, the mayor of the city, a guy by the name of Frank Rizzo. And Frank Rizzo, quite frankly, was not interested in taking her bait, but he wound up taking it and sort of swatting back, and that got her some attention. And then she wrote it for all it was worth. I can't and I won't fault her for that, but she's given up her MSNBC thing. So I wonder what happens over there. You think they're having like, hey, maybe we should get out of the insane, crazy leftist business, or are they just making room for another insane, crazy leftist? Right? Isn't she married to the Fed guy, Alan Greenspan, right? I mean, it's not like she needs the work. You know what I mean? She'll be just fine. I want to share with you a couple of little snippets here. I'm trying to think where I should even start. All right, let's start with J.D. Vance. You know, here I was chatting with Michael Harrison a couple of moments ago, and if you missed that, you must go to newsradiowrva.com, newsradiowrva.com, listen to that conversation. J.D. Vance, who, God willing, is poised to become vice president of the United States, J.D. Vance was raised on talk radio. J.D. Vance was raised on Rush Limbaugh. And you can hear it, you can see it in all of his interactions with these legacy news media hacks. He had a great time the other day. It was sort of like a cat with a mouse that was not happy to be with the cat. He was the cat man on CNN. How about a soggy salad? Soggy salad, cut number one.
Now, Jake, we also have to remember, I mean, step back a little bit. Well, ask yourself a basic question about network integrity. You guys talked about the Russia hoax nonstop.
The FBI was investigating it.
The FBI was investigating it. We recovered them. And so you took the words of unnamed FBI agents and put them on your network as if they were the gospel truth. You did it again and again. A viewer of your network would have believed that Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin conspired in 2016.
No.
That was totally and preposterously false.
No.
Well, that's
what you just said is false.
We covered an FBI investigation. I don't know why you want to talk about the FBI investigation.
You covered it in a way that gave credence to anonymous sources' accusations. You did it yourself. Your network did it, Jake. But again, can we talk about the issues that Americans care most about?
I'm talking about things that Donald Trump has said.
Yes.
If you have an issue with whether or not he's talking about the economy enough, that's between you and your running mate. I'm talking about things he has said this week.
Every single rally that he does, he talks about how he wants to unleash American energy so we can lower the cost of groceries. He talks about the fact that housing has become unaffordable. He talks about the wide open border, Jake. Kamala Harris and her allies, you know, it's interesting. Kamala Harris and her media allies, and I would put CNN in this category. You guys seem to care. I'll tell you that.
They wouldn't.
Well, they should.
Yeah, I tell you they would, Jake. Yeah, they really would.
You guys seem to care more about Donald Trump's past than the future of the American people. We're running this campaign on making of the American dream.
I'm specifically asking about how Donald Trump is going to be president in the future should he win, and we're being told
he's going to pursue economic policies that lower the cost of groceries and make life more affordable again. He talks about it every single day on the campaign trail, and so do I. What you're talking about is an anonymously sourced story, or one guy who is a disgruntled employee.
I told
where
you
five other people pushed back against him and said that what he said was dishonest. So why don't we talk about the policy that's affecting American citizens and not what Donald Trump allegedly said, according to one guy who's pissed off because he got fired by Donald Trump?
Bam! All right, JD, that is good for 2 points. Now, you know what? That's like a half-court shot. That's a three-pointer right there from JD Vance. He did a great job there. And you know how I know he did a great job? Because Jake Tapper's face got redder and redder and redder. And you could hear it, couldn't you? He was so defensive. Oh, my goodness. Where he's just making sounds. He's not even saying words. He just has these guttural utterances that make no sense, which I know comprises a lot of CNN, but I digress. I mean, it was craziness. And good for J.D. Vance on that one. I thought it was great. I hate to tell you this. I actually have to share with you a piece of Kamala Harris. Oh, I do. Because I want you, as we are now 1 week away from this election, which, of course, is the most important election in the history of elections, and will decide the future of the nation. But really, no pressure. You've got to take a listen to what she has to say. You're going to have to figure out where you are. I would imagine most people at this point have figured out where they are, right? Is there anybody left a week out from Election Day who does not know how they will be voting? Anybody at all? I don't think so. I don't see how it could be. I mean, I really don't. I don't understand how anybody could still, at this point, be confused as to how they might vote. But we'll do that. We'll do that in just a couple of moments. Again, we got some great folks who are joining us over the next couple of days. Chris Ruddy, the man behind Newsmax. We got Bill O'Reilly, Dinesh D'Souza. We got all sorts of great stuff coming up. Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., John Reed is going to be here. Perhaps, I don't know, maybe tomorrow's the day John announces that he's running for lieutenant governor.
Come on, man.
Well, I think he's running for lieutenant governor. I don't know. I'd like him to. I think it would be great. I really do. I've already said, have I not, that I will support him. I will endorse him. Not that anybody cares. Oh, and I'll make a monetary contribution, but only to the campaign. I'm not making it to his, you know, John Reed fund for himself fund. On that, I'm not doing. But the campaign, yeah, I would make a monetary contribution. I think that would be really, really cool. It is 4:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 4:21, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Craig Peterson's going to be along at 4:35. We'll talk a little bit about some of the tech issues, some of the tech problems. You know, Craig joins us weekly. I'm very happy to say that, but joins us. We're normally talking about such dangers and threats online and how to stay safe and all that kind of good stuff, but I do have a point of personal privilege this week because I got to ask him about some of the fruit products. I think I might have to buy one of those fruit devices to Well, just for personal purposes. That's all. Hey, I did promise you or threaten you. You determine which is more appropriate. That we had a piece of Kamala Harris, and you got to take a listen. This is a soggy salad, but man, it stinks as much today as it did yesterday when we first thought about playing it. Soggy salad, cut number 8.
And we respect the voices of all people. And we've got a job to do in the next 9 days to fight for this democracy we love.
We don't have a democracy.
9 days.
7.
And we understand we have an opportunity before us to turn the page on the fear and the divisiveness that have characterized our politics for a decade because of Donald Trump.
Oh, God.
We have the ability to turn the page on that same old tired playbook because we are exhausted with it.
I'm exhausted with you.
And we are ready to chart a new way forward. And yes, we will be joyful in the process.
I don't think so. You yourself don't.
Yes, we like to laugh. We know that when you care about the people and you understand what you are fighting for, there is joy in that fight. And
there's
that is
no
why we are all in this together.
God. Is it just me or do you feel like you need to take a nap now? Talk about exhausting. Nothing. I mean, I'm telling you, it is nothing. Nothing that she says that seems to make any sense to anybody. Oh, wait. No, that's not true. That's not true. I got two more snippets from her. These are the ones that are absolutely positively going to make us feel better. How about cut number 8?
Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. The path may seem hard, the work may seem heavy, but joy cometh in the morning, and church morning is on its way.
She's doing more impressions, huh? To me, that sounds like she's trying to do Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. A piece of advice to you as a professional speaker? No. Seriously. No. Just stop. How about cut number 9?
And we stand then in that path, knowing that we also have the honor and the duty of excelling in every way possible, being able to see what is possible and not be burdened by other people's limited ability to see the same.
Oh, thank God. Oh, we're going to be unburdened by what has been and instead be inspired by what hasn't been about stuff that's not going to be. And joy, happy, joy. It is 426, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 436. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Tuesday afternoon. I want to remind you, over the next couple of days, we've got some really, really stellar folks who are dropping by. Bill O'Reilly is going to be here. Dinesh D'Souza is dropping by. Old pal Chris Ruddy from Newsmax is going to be here. If you miss anything, of course, you head on over to newsradiowrba.com, newsradiowrba.com. You can listen to it all over there. I had a great conversation with my old pal Michael Harrison about an hour ago. Michael is the, well, he's the dean of talk radio at this point. He is the man who publishes Talkers. That's the trade publication for talk radio.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Been for 30-plus years. I'm always amazed. People go, well, what is that? What is that? Okay, well, it is what it is. It's the trade paper. All right, listen, we got a lot of stuff we're dealing with. And I as you know, I was out in Chicago last week delivering a speech, but also participating in a speaker's workshop, if you will. And there are lots of interesting pieces of information provided to me. Some of it was technical. And Craig Peterson joins us every Tuesday afternoon. We talk about staying safe online. We talk about some of the challenges that are out there. And we've got Black Friday and Digital Black Friday and all that stuff coming up. So we'll talk about all of it. Craig, I appreciate you being here. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, good afternoon. And did you know that Black Friday begins the 1st of November now? All of these big stores, they're starting the sales right now.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about, because it used to be they had the decency to wait until the day after Thanksgiving, but no more, right?
Yeah, well, it used to be, remember, Cyber Monday,
yeah,
right? And that's when you got the online deals. And
yep,
because the economy is so wonderful, they are really trying to get the sales out early right now. So it's you're going to see some great deals. I've seen some major markdowns on Apple products, and you've probably heard of Apple before, I think. And it's really going to be a good year for some of the online shopping. But on the other hand, we really have a problem, because the bad guys are working double time, triple time. They're not going to be taking Christmas Day off. They're going to be trying to trick you. They're doing all kinds of phishing now, using artificial intelligence. They're using the data that's been stolen about you so they can craft an email that just looks so, so good. So my number one article, one I wrote this week, is how to protect your wallet, your data, your privacy, all in one article, really. I got 10 tips in there, what they're doing and what you can do about it. I think it's important, Jeff, to let people know what they can do, because this isn't just trying to scare you. This is trying to help.
No, it's vital is what it is. I mean, and aside from just not looking at any stores online, not looking at any sites that are selling anything, how on earth do you stay safe with this?
Yeah, this is a problem for small retailers too, right? Because I start out this article talking about Amazon, Walmart, Target, you know, the big boys that are out there. And the issue is, yeah, if you shop at one of these bigger sites, you're probably going to be a lot safer compared to, for instance, you might go to a small website, kind of like an Etsy site where someone's making things and selling them for the holidays. Etsy itself has a pretty good little system set up, which is really nice.
Okay.
But people are afraid to go shopping in the small places online because of the possibility of hacking. Now, things have changed a lot also, not just with Cyber Monday, but with the credit cards. And that's what you should be using when you're shopping. I hate to say it, because I'm not a fan of credit cards. And a lot of people use debit cards. And hey, I get it. I went 20 years without a single credit card. But in this day and age, if you're not using a credit card, you've got potential problems. Because if the bad guys hose all of the money out of your bank account using your credit card, things are going to start bouncing on you.
Yeah.
So with the credit card, you can say, okay, I got the statement. Wait a minute. This wasn't me. What's going on? But even more than that, have you noticed, have you got a credit card lately? You notice you don't even sign it on the back anymore?
Right. That's right. That's right. Well, I did have something come up the other day, and I wanted to ask you about it because it ties into this. I made a purchase, and I don't recall what it was, but I made a purchase, and it said, hey, would you like us to give you like a virtual credit card each time? Like, we know the real credit card, and we'll keep the information, but every time you go on to one of these sites, we're going to create a different credit card, if you will, that you use that one time, and then it disappears. Now, is that legit, and should I be doing that?
Well, I do that. I said do-do.
You do-do.
And that Capital One does that. In fact, pretty much everybody that has a Visa card, MasterCard started doing it too. Okay. So the idea is here with the credit cards that that you give them the credit card number. If the vendor is not secure and that number's stolen and somebody else uses it, right, that's your problem. So these are legitimate. It's a single-use card. That's what it used to be. Nowadays, they'll generate a credit card number for you for that transaction, but they can do it for the website as well. So if there's a website that you buy stuff from frequently, you can have it generate a credit card, and you can say, okay, this card is only good through December 31st. Right. And that gives the vendor time to actually clear the transaction. You can say it's only good for one transaction or it's good for two transactions, and it is perfectly legitimate. And it ties into your web browser. Mm-hmm. So remember, when it's in your web browser and they're offering to give you a single-use credit card, right, that it is tracking where you're going online. Because it can see what you're looking at, right? So that's kind of the downside. But if you're kind of savvy with the web browsers, you can tell your web browser, hey, don't let my credit card company see where I am. And then when there is a site, you want to use one of those virtual cards. You just say, okay, I'll let it see it now, and everything will work just fine for you.
Okay. All right. Good point. And, you know, the whole thing about debit, people need to remember, your debit card is essentially the same as cash. And if your bank account gets emptied out because you put your debit card in, good luck. You're going to be going to war with the bank. And everything I've read, you're probably going to lose. And that's the reason to use those credit options. Now, Craig, I have to ask you something, and I come, now it's not on bended knee. I don't want you to get all excited about this, that I've come to the dark side of things, but last week I was in Chicago, and I was part of a big event, and there was a secondary event, which was, I'll describe it as a speaker's workshop, all right, and just interacting with different people, and you know, I'm out on the road and doing stuff, and the one guy said, look, you know, you're not really a PowerPoint guy. I'm not. I mean, my speech doesn't involve a lot of PowerPoints, but I do like a lot of visuals and my daughter and some other things. He said, I don't know how to break it to you. Everybody in the AV world is going to be, they're in the Apple world. They're in the Apple space. And as good as you think that droid is, and it is. See, he was on my side. But he said, you still got to go, you got to plunge into the Apple world. So here's what I'm asking you, and don't get all, you know, big-headed about it, you Apple guy, you. But let's say, for the sake of argument, your friendly old Uncle Jeff says, I'm going to invest in Uncle Jeff Enterprises, and I need some Apple stuff. What's my entry point for a laptop and stuff like that?
Well, you can get an Apple laptop for a grand. Now, if you're comparing Apple, I want you to make sure it's not an apple and an orange, right? Maintain that fruit.
Talk about low-hanging fruit. Boom! Thank you, everybody. Remember your
rim shot. Thank you. Rim shot, please. Yes, yes. So when we're talking about an Apple laptop, you have to compare it against something comparable in the Windows space, okay, if that's what you're comparing it to, okay?
Yes,
I am. So the Apple laptops, they go up to like $5,000.
I don't want that one.
If you... Yeah, well, it's fully loaded. But you might want to consider looking at something my wife has, which is one of the new Apple chips. Hers is actually an M2, but they're called MacBook Airs. They come in a couple of different sizes. They're least expensive of all of the Apple laptops that are out there. Okay. And they're fantastic in the battery life. She goes 2 days using her computer most of the day without having to charge it. It's just phenomenal. Okay. But if you're looking for a computer in the Apple space that you're going to use in the office, and let's say you've already got a keyboard, you've got a mouse, you've got a screen, you know, a display of some sort, or maybe two or three. Look at the Mac Mini, and there's a new one coming out within a week, and it's just a little tiny computer, and they made it, this is the smallest one they've ever made. It's not much bigger than two packs of cards, and it is a full computer that you hook up a mouse and a keyboard and displays to. It's a full Mac. It is fast as can be. And when I buy a computer, I tend to recommend and I buy myself the most computer I can afford, because that means it's going to last as long as I might need it to. My main computer here is 12 years old. It's a 12-year-old Mac.
Wow.
And it just runs and runs. And then I have my old laptops, hand me down to my kids, right? Yeah, they're in their 30s, 40s. But anyways, and my kids use those computers still. I have, in fact, a MacBook Air, Jeff, yeah, that is close to 20 years old that I use. That's what I sit, if I'm sitting in bed and I think of something and I want to open it up and work on something, that's what I use. So the Apple gear is made to last. It's high quality. Okay. It is on the more expensive side, but not when you compare it to the high quality Windows computers that are out there.
All right, so I wrote down Apple MacBook Air M2.
Well, you probably want to get like an M. Get an M3. I think you can still get the 2s.
Right,
but get an M3. The M4s are coming out shortly, too. But
right,
it's going to last you, even the M2.
Okay, now, this is, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but is it going to play nicely with me? Because I've played with Windows my whole computing life, and I is it intuitive? Is it friendly?
It's exactly the same, only different.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, the in fact, the tests that have been run on computers with people that aren't computer people,
yeah,
the Mac is much more, it's much easier to use. It
okay,
performs in a way that you expect it to perform. You know, when you drag a file over here or you open this up, it's very, very intuitive. Versus the Windows side, which is kind of a hack, frankly. But remember, the roots of the Mac interface here are from Next, which was Steve Jobs' company, and he came up with the whole, this is what the next generation of computers is going to be like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he brought that with him into Apple, and they've really maintained the look and feel and the ease of use. So most people don't have any troubles. And you know what? If you buy it from the Apple Store, even if you don't, if you buy it from another vendor, you can go to the Apple Store and they have classes. So you can sit there, learn about it, learn about any of the Apple software. And most of these classes are absolutely free.
Can I reliably buy it from Amazon, or is that a path not to go down?
Well, be careful, but Amazon does sell real Apple and brand new in the box, and I have done that before as well. But if you have the Apple credit card, you can buy any Apple anything, and you get a 5% discount and 0% interest. So you, like I bought this laptop sitting here in front of me, and that laptop is, I think it's 1 year is what you have to pay it. But anyways, 5% off, I'm getting cash back, and there's zero interest on it. You're not going to get that at Amazon.
Okay, fair enough. Well, Craig, I like the fact you did not gloat all that much, which is good. That's a very attractive part of you. I will continue to pursue this line of questioning of you when you visit, because I want to make sure I do right by this. And in the meantime, I want people to sign up for your newsletter so they're not getting hosed over as November the 1st hits and we see all these Black Friday sales. So what do they do? What's the best way to do that?
Oh, there's so much in the newsletter this week. Did you know you're worth $300 to Google? So I've got some alternatives. But you can go right now to craigpeterson.com, sign up on the whole homepage. I will not be harassing you, but I'll be sending you all the stuff every week.
All right, craigpeterson.com, and if I'm worth $300 to Google, maybe I get like $320 to another site. All right, I appreciate it, Craig. We will talk again soon, my friend. That is Craig Peterson. You got to go and sign up for the newsletter. Oh, my gosh, you got to stay safe. I didn't realize November 1st is when the Black Friday sales start, and they're going to be looking for your information. Believe me, craigpeterson.com. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 505, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Tuesday afternoon. It's comfy. It really is. I'm thinking, man, I should have opened the windows. I might very well do it. 66 degrees. It's nice. It's really nice. It's a good night. If you have the chance, get out there on your architect deck, man, and relax a little bit. About a half hour from now,
I want to share with you the story of something. Are you ready for this? Called the Christian Chamber of Commerce. I met some wonderful people a couple of weeks back out at Liberty University. I was blown away. I really was. I was just so blown away by the fact that Dr. Dave Brad, who I know, I mean, he's a dear friend, and he's a regular on this here little program and all, but when he reached out and said, hey, we'd love to have you attend our CEO summit, I'd like to personally invite you to that. And I said, okay, well, that's pretty nice. And it was a wonderful event. I can't wait to be part of it again next year. I've already locked it in. I said, yeah, I'm in. I mean, I just need to know the dates. But I met some incredible people out there. And one of the couples that I met heads up the Virginia Beach Christian Chamber of Commerce. And I said, I've never heard of it. I think it's a very interesting idea. Would you mind visiting on the air with us? So about a half hour from now, Joseph and Roberta Perry are going to be with us to talk a little bit about that. And maybe there's a Central Virginia Christian Chamber of Commerce that grows out of this. Possibly. I don't know. I need to learn more. I want you to learn more. I'm taking a look at the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
1140-833-804 says, hey, Jeff, LeVar Stoney said this morning on X that he's going to make sure that Virginia rejects Trump. Okay. Well, you know, I live and die with those things like LeVar Stoney talks about. Shouldn't LeVar Stoney be focused on something like, I don't know, the Diamond Project that seems to be coming apart at the edges? I don't fully understand, but somehow, some way, the city of Richmond, man, they could screw up a one-car parade. LeVar Stoney destroyed the Tom Farrell plan. Remember that? Tom Farrell's whole thing to redo the Coliseum and do that, Navy Hill. That was LeVar Stoney that screwed that up six ways to Sunday, destroyed that. LeVar Stoney has the reverse Midas touch. Everything that LeVar Stoney touches turns to crap. Now, part of that may be because he just happens to be grossly incompetent. And the other part of it may be, well, maybe he just has a special skill. I don't know. He'd like to take that same level of gross incompetence and share it with our entire beloved Commonwealth as the lieutenant governor. Wasn't he running for governor for a minute? And then now he's running for lieutenant governor. Well, whatever. Good for him. And that Ghazala Hashmi, the one who is so in love. Well, you know, I'm even going to die down past. She's just a good... Terrible example of a state senator. Didn't she put her hat in the ring as well for lieutenant governor over on the Democrat Party side? The Republican Party side? Is anybody running, by the way? I mean, I keep talking about John Reed, and I think any day now, any moment now, John Reed's going to announce he's running for lieutenant governor. But it's about time. John, you got to make the announcement, because I'll bet you there'll be other people going, well, if he's not running, then I'm going to run. Is somebody else going to run for it? I don't know. I just wish people would step up to the plate. Let's get this stuff underway. The Democrats, the leftists, the hardcore Marxists, like that Abigail Spamberger, a complete and total fraud, she's had her act together. Say what you will about her. I mean, she's a reprehensible human being and an awful candidate. But other than that, I like her a lot. She's got her dog and pony show all dogged and ponied up, right? She's out campaigning for governor. Now, she's not actually telling people what she really believes in or how she would do it or what she would do or what she did up in D.C., where she was, well, 110% on board with everything that Nancy Pelosi wanted. But say what you will about her, she has put together a media operation that's convinced a lot of people, and by convinced, I mean fooled, a lot of people into believing that she's a moderate and... she would be good for the Commonwealth. She's done it all. She's been very effective. Now, she's a bad, bad, bad candidate. Would do terrible damage to our beloved Commonwealth. But she's done a good job. So far, I don't know what's going on her side. Is it Winsome? Is Winsome Sears definitely, positively, absolutely the person for governor? I hope it's the case, because I love Winsome Sears. I think she'd be one hell of a governor. But you know she needs money, right? And I don't know what it is. We have such a bizarre situation. It seems like we can never get the proper funding for our candidates on our side of the aisle. It makes no sense to me. Now, we'll see. All right. So we've got all of that. We've got Chris Ruddy from Newsmax, who's going to be joining us tomorrow or the day after. Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about the success of Newsmax, which is great, because as someone who's been there since the beginning, I'm just happy to see all of the success for Chris and the team. But Chris Ruddy has been friends with Donald Trump for 25 years, 30 years. And he's seen him up close and personal and knows him on a personal basis. So I want him to share a little bit about that. Bill O'Reilly is going to be with us. Bill O'Reilly is going to be here on Monday. Dinesh D'Souza is going to be here on Monday. O'Reilly's another one. O'Reilly has been friendly with Trump for decades and can tell us a little bit about where he is and what it is that we might see come about on Tuesday. And then on Tuesday, it'll all be over, right? The election, that's it, we'll be done. But in the meantime, let me abuse all of us just a little bit more, because we've got, well, there's still fallout from the Madison Square Garden event. For the life of me, I don't understand this. I really don't. I look at Madison Square Garden, and I look at it probably differently than some people do. I look at Madison Square Garden, and I think, oh, yeah, that's the house that Bruno Sammartino built. Because Bruno Sammartino still holds the record for the number of sellouts of Madison Square Garden. But I am being led to believe, if I listen to all of the legacy news media bottom feeders, that anybody who has an event at Madison Square Garden is somehow, some way, on track with Nazis. It's especially insulting to those of us who are Jewish who had family members die at the hands of actual Nazis. But take a listen, cut number one.
And former President Donald Trump here at a rally in New York City at Madison Square Garden with the election just 8 days away.
Quite a choice there. It was a rally marked by profane and racist jokes, and including the opening comedian who called Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage. That comment provoked a lot of responses. Kamala Harris, J-Lo, and some distancing from Republican politicians. I want to go straight to Rachel Scott. She's going to start us off. And Rachel, you've been covering the Trump campaign since 2016. You've been at dozens and dozens of rallies. Never one like this.
Yeah, George, I've covered almost every single rally that Donald Trump has had this election cycle, and his rhetoric has turned increasingly dark and filled with grievances. This rally in particular was supposed to be a homecoming for the former president. His advisors told me it's where he would start delivering his closing messages to voters, but all of that was completely overshadowed by comments that were vulgar and at times just outright racist.
Overnight, Donald Trump kicking off the final week of the 2024 campaign with a rally that was dark and inflammatory from the start, insisting his possible re-election would be, quote, Liberation Day from undocumented migrants.
November 5th, 2024, 9 days from now, will be Liberation Day in America. It's going to be Liberation Day. On day one, I will launch the largest deportation program in American history.
The former president painting America as a nation in decline, once again labeling Democrats the enemy from within.
Oh, gosh, get yourself another tissue out of petty cash. Did you notice what she did there? And the little dude, what's his name, Snuffy, what he did there as well? They want to tell you what was said, but then they can't actually tell you what was said because what they're claiming was said was never actually said. And the one joke, which everybody thought was just absolutely appalling, was a comedian, not Donald Trump, not anybody with his staff, not anybody with his campaign, and everybody jumped on that and said, "Ooh, no." These are folks who are just freaking delusional. These are people for whom the truth does not matter. A little something you got to remember. I've been trying to share this with you for a long time. I'm hoping against hope that it's starting to take root. And in a week or so, we finally begin the process of righting this nation. Wouldn't that be great? 514, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 522, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Now, I want to remind you about something. We had a slight correction. This Friday, we will be presenting our Lieutenant Jan McTurnan Blue Friday Honor. And I know what you're thinking. Wait a minute, Jeff. That's November the 2nd. I know, and I know we always do it on the final Friday of the month, but I was not here on the final Friday of the month. It's really that simple. I don't want you to think there was some big conspiracy theory or some sort of a demonic attack or, you know, outer space people. None of that. I wasn't here. And so we couldn't present it on the final Friday of the month. But that being said, this Friday, November the 1st, November, I don't care, whatever the date is. It's November. It's not the final Friday of the month. That's it. Details. God, people with these details. It will be the first Friday of November. And then we will, if everything goes right, we'll be presenting the next one for November, the final Friday of November. But we will be doing it this Friday. We have an amazing honoree this time. We really do. Just a really, really, really solid law enforcement professional. And you'll enjoy it. I really do think you will enjoy it. I am hoping that you enjoy the Lieutenant Jan McTurnan Blue Friday Honor sessions as much as I do. This is now, I have to do the math. I think it's now going on 8 years that we've been doing this. And those are like real years. These are not like the Richard McCann years. Didn't Richard McCann just the other day celebrate, his 86th anniversary on the radio? Every time I turn around, he's got a different anniversary. And they don't seem to jive. But, you know, this is the real math, I think, is like 8 or 9 years. And I am just blown away by the success of it. I really am. The folks who have come from every part of our community to support our Central Virginia law enforcement officers has really been rather rewarding. I think every once in a while you look back on things and you go, wow, you know, that was a good thing. This week I'm going to jail. I should have mentioned that, right? Gosh, I may need more vacation days or something, but I am. I'm going to jail, Pamunkey Regional Jail. I am one of the teachers for the Inside Out Dad program. That's the Fatherhood Foundation of Virginia, my buddy Chris Beach. We have been working for about 2 years to get me to go to jail. I know most people say, well, I'm working overtime to stay out of jail. No, I wanted to go. And I'm going to be hopefully sharing with some of the dads who are incarcerated how they can be better fathers when they get out. So I'm going to give you details on that as well. We're doing one or two good things, don't you think? Coming up at 5:35, the Christian Chamber of Commerce. It's in place out in Virginia Beach. Maybe it's time to do one in Central Virginia as well. It's 5:25, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Five 36, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Tuesday evening. Yeah, we've made it into the evening hours. It's getting nicer, believe it or not. Sounds crazy, right? Got the windows open now. We'll be out on the Architect deck in a couple of moments, taking in the nice weather. We've got the countdown underway 1 week from today, the election finally over, which means we'll start immediately focusing on whatever the next election is, right? I am ready for it to be done. I really am. I mean, there's some good things, there's some bad things, but I'm just really ready for it to be done. There are a lot of other issues that you and I need to address. However, before we put it all in the rearview mirror, let me remind you, we got some of my old pals dropping by over the next couple of days, some really rock-solid people. Chris Ruddy, who's the guy who built Newsmax, he's aces. And he's going to be with us. Is it tomorrow or Thursday? He's going to be with us. Dr. Dave Brad, of course, is with us every week. My old pal Bill O'Reilly is going to be here on Monday. Dinesh D'Souza is dropping by. And we're going to have some good conversations, some fun times. I promise you that. And I mentioned Dr. Dave Brad. Now, Dave and I have been friends for years. Years. And my oldest boy, who, you know, graduated from Stanford, I work that into every conversation, he was the youngest ever intern for Dr. Dave Brad as a congressman. Yeah, Harry was in high school when he got that internship, and he got it. Make no mistake, I didn't get it for him. He got it. And so I just cherish Dave Brad. I love the man like nobody's business, just a true brother in every sense of the word. And he puts together every year at Liberty University the CEO Summit. And when he reached out and said, hey, I've got a crazy idea. You want to come to this? I thought, well, yeah. To be surrounded by such brilliant people and accomplished people, I didn't want to give up that opportunity. I said, absolutely, Dave, I'm there. And I got to meet some really stellar people, including Joseph and Roberta. Now, these fine folks head up something called the Coastal Virginia Christian Chamber of Commerce. And Roberta and I, man, we just, it was like old home week because we're both real radio people. And we were both real radio people back up in Boston. And that long story short, they're with us. I'm happy to say that. And let me give Roberta the proper credit. Put her name first. Roberta and Joseph, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Hey, thanks for having us today, Jeff. Yeah, I don't know if I want to take the first name. My husband, Joseph, is on the line as well. But we met at Liberty. It was quite an event at the CEO Summit. We are part of the U.S. Christian Chamber.
Right.
And they're down in Florida. I don't know if you have your regular Chamber of Commerce that your businesses go to, but this is a Christian version of that, based in biblical foundations, helping businesses thrive in today's economy, which, you know, is very challenging. But yeah, I'm sitting across the table from you, Jeff, and I said, wow, we know a lot of the same people. I was in radio for 20 years, moved down here to Virginia from Connecticut originally. And I met my husband a couple years ago. He was a pastor with his background and my background. We teamed up and we launched the Coastal Virginia Christian Chamber of Commerce.
I love it. Right. I absolutely love it, Roberta. Now, let me ask Joseph to jump in here for a second. Joseph, explain to everybody why there is a U.S. Christian Chamber of Commerce. Why is there a Coastal Virginia Christian Chamber of Commerce?
Yeah, well, you know, God's people are called into the marketplace, and unfortunately, most churches don't know what to do with that, how to help them, how to even provide the proper validation for business as a ministry. And so there's so many people called to that, and every time I talk to people that are part of the regular chamber, that are Christians in the regular chamber, they usually tell me that the values are different there, the practices, even what they do when they're just hanging out, and it's not resonating with them quite the same. And so there's nothing for them. And so I got a call from a friend who was down in Florida at the time. He, asked me about, you know, to consider doing this. I hung the phone up and did nothing for about 7 months. And then we just started feeling like now was the time to be able to provide this for them. And we've talked with person after person about, you know, how they tried to do ministry, they tried to do pastoring, and it wasn't until they stepped in the marketplace that they seemed to find their niche and they started thriving.
Wow. I love that. I love that. So, Roberta, you are the expert. I mean, Joseph's a good guy. He's got his stuff together. But you are you're a media and a marketing person. So part of your mission is clearly to get the name out there. Give everybody a little sense of the history of this U.S. Christian Chamber of Commerce and how it's taken on a bigger role now across America.
Yeah, So the U.S. Christian Chamber of Commerce started about 20 years ago, and they had a couple different presidents, and they tried to launch out into across the United States, but they really did well in Orlando.
Okay.
There is our president who is in Orlando. Her name is Crystal Parker, and she actually started about 7 years ago, and she went and did Orlando. And she did very, very well there. So they had probably about 300 members there. They do things each week to get together called a Fellowship Friday. And then they get together quarterly. There's trainings. But Orlando has kind of become like the hub of Christian chamber business that's happening down there. A lot of Christian events are happening in Orlando as well.
Right.
And right now, we are the second chamber outside of Florida that has launched. Virginia is a very important area because right here, Reverend Robert Hunt came here, and it was back in the Williamsburg days, and he put his flag in the ground. He said, "This land will be dedicated to the gospel." And because of that, there's been a lot of places that have started chambers here and have failed. Joseph was actually on the board of the original Christian Chamber of Commerce here.
Okay.
And I'll let you talk a little bit about that, Joseph.
Yeah, Joseph, what happened? So you get it up and running, and then it just doesn't quite take off?
Well, there was a previous one, and I was brought on only at the tail end of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it had kind of already fizzled out. And so, and that happens from time to time with organizations. But here it is. I think it was probably 5-6 years ago since that closed. And this was not on my agenda, was not on our agenda. But it was something that we got this invitation, if you will.
Yeah.
And we spent kind of the last year and a half just, you know, working towards it, and just launched in September.
Well, look, sometimes you are called to something, whether you have asked for it or not. And so, yes, this is this is now your bailiwick and your charge, if you will. Now, here we are. We're in Central Virginia. We are we're an hour and a half, 2 hours from where you guys are out there in Virginia Beach and what have you. We'd love to support you. How do we support you? And how does somebody, say, who has a business in Central Virginia, maybe reach out and say, "Look, I could help some folks out in the beach"?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that they could do is to find out more about the chamber is to go to the website uschristianchamber.com/COVA, COVA. So they can start there, find out about, you know, what we're about, memberships, learn a little bit about the U.S. Chamber as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can email us at covachristianchamber@gmail.com. And they can learn about our events and everything we have going on. I mean, we just started, and we've already got 4 events on the calendar, and we've got plans for December and January and beyond.
Okay. All right. Well, now, I love the sound of that. Now, obviously, many of us in Central Virginia relish any opportunity to head out to the beach. You were chatting with one of my buddies at Liberty, Barry Moore, who's with the Better Business Bureau, and I know he's all over this about perhaps standing up a Central Virginia Christian Chamber of Commerce. That sound like a good idea to you guys?
Oh, that's awesome! Yeah. I love to hear that. The DMV is also launching as well. But Joseph and I have, you know, bigger plans for the whole state. But yes, that would be amazing if Barry did that there in Richmond. That would be awesome. We could have, you know, regional events and statewide events.
So here's what I want to do, because I don't want this to be a one and done. I love the idea of this this whole thing about the Kingdom Commerce. I mean, I really do. I just love the way this whole thing is shaken out. I want you to give everybody the website. I want them to learn a little bit more about it. And once they've had a little opportunity to sort of analyze it, I want to get you guys back in a couple of weeks. We'll talk about some of the events that are coming up. So give everybody the website again so they can learn a little bit more about this.
Sure. The website is uschristianchamber.com/COVA, COVA. They can find out more about us, membership levels, and reach out to us through there.
All right. Well, I appreciate you being here, Roberta, Joseph. I appreciate you both being here. We're going to get you back in the not-too-distant future. Again, it's uschristianchamber.com/COVA, Coastal Virginia. So learn a little bit more about what they're doing out in Virginia Beach. And if you are a local business person and this sort of resonates with you, I would say you reach out to them, reach out to Joseph, reach out to Roberta and say, hey, I like the sound of this. I like the feel of it. Maybe we could stand something up here in Central Virginia that would give you the opportunity to have a vibrant Christian Chamber of Commerce in Central Virginia. What an amazing idea. It is 546, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 552, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. I've got to update you on a story. Now, this is a while ago. Do you remember there were a number of little girls who were murdered. They were murdered after that whole Taylor Swift party in England. Do you remember that? And then there were riots. And we were told, well, listen, there's the guy that did it is just he's just a sick guy. He's got mental issues. It is not related at all to terrorism. Now, fast forward a couple of months. Guess what? It's completely related to terrorism. The guy who has been charged with this now facing terrorism charges because ricin and a variety of Al-Qaeda materials were found in his possession. So always be cautious. ABC, now, I know if you go back to Glengarry, Glen Ross, ABC means always be closing. But in this case, always be cautious. When you hear these first responses from politically driven law enforcement officials, and we see this a lot in Europe, it's all about the optics, it's all about the politics, and it's not about the enforcement of the law. They're not interested in that. They've got political things they're trying to advance. With all of that being said, just be cautious. I could have told you, in fact, I probably did tell you when this happened, that there was a terror component to it. And now I am proven right. I'm sorry that I'm proven right, but I'm proven right. Okay, we've got Chris Ruddy, who's going to be joining us this week. We've got my buddy Dr. Dave Brad. We got Dr. Keith Abloh. Brian Maloney is going to be with us. And next week we've got Bill O'Reilly and Dinesh D'Souza. By the way, that's on the same day. You know, one of those guys on one day is pretty good. I mean, you put Bill O'Reilly and Dinesh D'Souza together on one day, you got like a regular gangbuster sort of a show. So very nice job there. Jeremy did all of the heavy lifting with that. So I'm very happy that he was able to do that. Tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., my friend John Reed is going to be here. At least that's the plan. And you know, unless I hear otherwise, I'll be tuning in tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. listening to John. I always find it a fascinating use of my time in the morning. I really do. John's a good dude. Gary Hess does an amazing job delivering the news. I'm always very, very happy to hear Gary doing that. And I do like hearing a lot of the perspective that John brings to this. I will tell you again, I've said it before, my hope is that John's going to make it official that he's running for lieutenant governor pretty soon. I think that would be great. And I haven't asked him for anything. I don't want any board appointments or payoffs or this or that. I'll take a challenge coin. You know, I'm all about challenge coins. All right. Have a fantastic evening, would you? The weather has turned into a lovely sort of a day. All right. Have a great evening. God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.